Let's look at the resurrection. Today is the day we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And his resurrection kind of points towards the ultimate resurrection, doesn't it, when he returns. And there'll be a new heaven and new earth, and there'll be no more sin and pain and suffering and sorrow. And we will live in the fullness of his glorious kingdom. But until then, his resurrection 3 days after his crucifixion is significant for us as Christians, and we hope to look into some of that this morning. And usually we take a text or two texts, but we're going to jump around a little bit. Oh, does this noise in my head bother you? Jump around a little bit this morning and do a bit of a Bible study, so I hope you're good with that. If you've got your Bible, I hope your fingers are fast. Alternatively, if you're taking notes, scribble them down and we'll take it from there. So the Greek word pascha is resurrection, and the stone is rolled away. The tomb is empty. Our Savior lives. Amen. Amen. It's one of the things that separates Christianity from any other religion on the face of the planet. We have a living Savior. It's not someone who gave us moralistic ways to live and ways to better our lives, but he's alive and he indwells us by his Spirit, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing and a wonderful privilege we have. So what's a resurrection all about, and what's its significance for us? I think sometimes we live... this is not working. Can someone make it work? Ah, here we go. Here we go, the cross. Sometimes I think we think the cross is the total and complete work of Christ, which in some ways it is, because he said it's finished, and there's a whole lot that goes along with that. And the cross and Jesus go hand in hand, and they are synonymous with each other for sure. The cross is a worldwide symbol of Christianity, wherever you go. And there'll be forms of it, and some have Jesus on the cross and others don't. But it's a worldwide known symbol. The resurrection is impressive for sure, but sometimes I think we almost think it's an afterthought, like the conversion after a try in the World Cup final. It's like the work has been done. The work of going to the cross and dying and sacrificing is complete, and now we have kind of a bonus at the end. Somehow that his death was the real work. But 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14 and 17, I just jumped to them. It says, if Christ had not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. If Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile. Amen. And you're still in your sins. And what's that a reference to? Ephesians 2. We were dead in our transgressions, but he raised us up with Christ, seated us at the right hand of the Father. So the reality is the death of Christ. But if Christ hasn't raised, if the resurrection didn't take place, you and I would still be in that place of a spiritual death with the tomb clothes around us. That's what Corinthians scripture is telling us. So if he had not been raised, you would still be in your sin with no spiritual life whatsoever. And this morning I want to have a look at three births of Jesus. And you say, what? Three times in scripture it talks about the birth of Jesus. So let's look at them. Have we gone there? The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. It's the first time in scripture it references Jesus, and it's talking about this thing called birth. And it's not a physical birth like we do as human beings, but he was the first in creation. Get that. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So he was before anything in creation, he was. He was the firstborn. And all things that were created through him and by him, and they belong to him, they were created for him. That's our Jesus. Get that? And in him all things to this day hold together. So Jesus is the firstborn Son of God, absolutely, fully, 100% God, the firstborn of creation. Before the foundation of the earth he was. In him all things are created in heaven and earth. For him, he's over them, they are under him. He was before all things, and in him everything holds together. The second birth of Jesus is Philippians 2, 6 and 7. Though he was God, so we've just seen that, he was before all things and created all things. He's God, fully, fully God. So although he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Didn't hold on to it. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and took the humble position of a slave as he was born as a human being. So his second birth, in a sense, is his birth as a human being, where he took on the position as slave to the human beings that he had created. Get that? Although he was God, willingly gave up everything, his privileges, his rights, his benefits of kingdom life, and took on that slave position for us. Why? Because of something we couldn't do. He needed to live the same life that we live as humans and do it like we couldn't do it without sin. Died the death that we should have and was raised to life so that we can have spiritual life and take the punishment that we deserve. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I hope you're following the train. So God made him who had no sin to become sin so that we might be saved, we might become the righteousness of God. So God made it all happen. Jesus had no sin, he took on our sin, and through him we become the righteousness of God. And that's not in a sense that magically we become God's righteousness, that God doesn't have any righteousness and so we become it. It's not what it's talking about. It's saying, through Christ and through what God did, we become righteous. It's an imputed, we take it on. It's not ours, it's his. And we become that righteousness through what he, Jesus Christ, had done for us on the cross. The third mention of birth says this: he is the beginning and the firstborn among all the dead, so that in all things he may have preeminence. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Firstborn among the dead. That's the resurrection. He was the first to be resurrected. That's what it's saying. Being dead and being raised up, having a second go at life, if you were. Being physically dead and then coming to life. He's the beginning of the resurrection, in other words. He was the first one. He's the origin of resurrection. So that he may have preeminence. He may be superior to all. That God's fullness would dwell in him. And through that and by that, to reconcile all things to him, which includes you and me. Reconcile us by taking our sin and resurrecting us. Ephesians 2, 1 and 2 says, you were dead in your transgressions. You and I were dead in our transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. But God, because of his great love for us, who is rich in mercy, has made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our trespasses. It's by this grace that you and I are saved. You get that? Christ was the first to be raised so that you and I can be taken out of a state of spiritual death. We may be physically alive, but there's a spiritual death. And through his resurrection, you and I have a new spiritual life that is birthed within us. Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1. There we go. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. So he says, I'm continuously praying for you, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know the hope to which he has called you, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his great might that worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6, he raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. And so that's the process of the resurrection. We were dead in transgression. He raised us, and as Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, you and I are seated with him in heavenly places. So Paul says, I do not cease to pray for you that you'd not just know about Jesus as in an academical or pragmatic knowledge, or someone's told you about him, but he goes on to say, I pray that you would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And those two go hand in hand. Wisdom comes with experience. So he's saying that you may get to know him by experience, by walking, by trying, by testing, by experiencing, but also by revelation, which comes in a moment. Experience takes time. It's a process. And he's saying by both of these that you would move past the place of just having an academical knowledge of him, but have an experience of him. Says that the eyes of your hearts would be open to see and to know. You know, we have spiritual eyes, we have physical eyes, but spiritual eyes. And he's saying, I pray and I continuously pray that the spiritual eyes of your being will be open, that you may see and understand what it is he's given you. He goes on to say that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the resurrection life, now works within you. Do we know that? You see, I think so many Christians today are still living in the tomb with the death cloth wrapped around them because we are not experiencing what is our right, which is the Spirit of God living in us, empowering us to live the Christian life. There's a reality about that that brings you wisdom through experience and revelation of him to a place of absolutely knowing. That word is yada. Someone spoke about it on Wednesday. Kaylin did. Adam knew his wife and she conceived. The word that's used there is yada. Eve didn't conceive because she knew about Adam. There was a tangible physical relationship over time which happened, which produced children. And so it is with God. We get to know him in a tangible way through the Spirit of God living within us and empowering us to do so. Romans 8, 10 and 11. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body may be subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because of righteousness. Not your righteousness, because of Christ's righteousness. So he's saying, even though you may live in a body that's decaying, it's busy dying, and the world around us in which we live is decaying and dying, he, by the Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead, will come and indwell you and give you life in your innermost being. That's Christianity, friends. You know, we leak as Christians. The Bible says, be filled. Do not be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And it's in the present continuous tense. It actually means be being filled continuously. You see, so many people I talk to say, I'm so tired, I'm so finished, I can't handle this. You're not tired, you're empty. You need to get to God so that the Spirit that indwells you can empower you and strengthen you in your innermost being so that you can stand up and fulfill the life that He's called you to live. That's resurrection life. That's what the resurrection of Christ is all about. Is that okay? If Christ is in you, said all that. Got ahead of myself. Colossians 1:27. Oh, wrong one. To you, if you've got your Bible, write your name there. Because He's talking to you. To you, Albert. To you, Tootsie. To you, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of His mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you see that the purpose of resurrection life is that He will dwell in you, and this great mystery that starts to be discovered and unfold within you and within your life, you can make Him known to the Gentiles that surround us. To the world that surrounds us, they will see something in you which is the life of God, not a pretense, not an external dressing up, nothing external, but there'll be this life of God inside of you called resurrection life. Christianity is not a religion. It's an extraordinary journey of discovery of a life filled with the Spirit of God and empowered by the Spirit of God. Things that you may not think or dream or conceive of, He can do in you and through you and with you. Available to all, but sadly taken up and experienced by so few, the true resurrection life, which should be normal Christianity. Our purpose is to make known this mystery of resurrection life. Show it to the world that surrounds us. All of this points, as I started with, to when He returns again. The great wedding feast of the Lamb. Those who have died will be raised up. New heaven and new earth. Kingdom fully restored. That's where we are headed, through resurrection life. Can you see? The cross is integral. As we've looked over this weekend, His triumphal entry challenges who's in the seat of authority in your life. His cross is necessary. He died so that you and I may be free. Took the crown of thorns so that our crown of thorns is taken off. But resurrection life is what He calls you and me into. The power of God, by the Spirit of God, energizes you. I always use this example. It's like petrol in a car's tank. If you don't have it, you're going to push that thing around and it becomes hard work. Has Christianity become a hard work for you? Put some fuel in it by the Spirit of God. Allow Him. When an engine runs without oil, oil signifies again the Spirit of God. It gets hot. Friction increases. Is your life full of friction? Tell you what, you're not tired, you're empty. Get some of the Spirit of God. Not that you go to a filling station somewhere and fill it up. Get with Him. Get with Him in repentance and say, Lord, I'm running on dry. I've lost sight of You. I've lost sight of my birthright, which is resurrection power within me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's Christianity, friends. We turn it so easily into a system of religion where it becomes about do's and don'ts, and we take scripture and want to apply this principle and that principle. It's a relationship. and he dwells in you. And that spirit wants to fellowship with you ongoingly in your coming and going. In him we live and move and have our being. Are we doing that? That's Christianity. That's resurrection life. Amen.